Good morning. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you that you've been with us so far. We thank you, Father, for your mercies, which are new every morning, even more than the morning, in the afternoon, and at night, and all times, Father. We thank you for that, and we pray that you'd have mercy on us, that you'd bless us this morning with your word. We've already been blessed with your word. We've already been blessed with the privilege to sing songs openly, to make music with our voices and with our hearts. Oh, Father, we pray that it would be acceptable in your sight. We know by ourselves we wouldn't be accepted. But by the love of God, Jesus has been given for us. Oh, Father, thank you. Be with us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please turn to Luke chapter 7. We're working through the Gospel of Luke. Last time, if you remember, it's been a couple weeks. Let's think about that. The end of Luke chapter 6, Jesus said, "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit, for a tree is known by its own fruit." This is a very simple and very clear picture, isn't it? If you look at the tree and there are peaches on it, what kind of tree is it? It's a peach tree. Very easy, right? If you look at a tree and there are apples on it, what kind of tree is it? It's an apple tree. Your eye can see easily. Jesus said, "A tree is known by its own fruit. Figs are not gathered from thorn bushes." We know this, don't we? "Grapes are not picked from a bramble bush." Jesus said, "The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. And the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Listen, Jesus does hide his teaching sometimes. This is very clear. Very clear. And challenging, isn't it? Are you a good tree? What does your fruit look like? It's very challenging. And again, Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you?" Also, very, very clear in the teaching, right? A servant has to obey the voice of their master. You're calling me Lord, but when I tell you what to do, you don't do it. There's a problem with this relationship. If I'm your master and you're my servant, and I tell you what to do, and you don't do it. Do you understand? It's a very clear lesson. Challenging, very challenging. Jesus said, "Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I'll show you what he's like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Jesus said, "If you hear what I say and you do it, you're wise. And if you hear what I say and you don't do it, you're fool." Well, that was the end of chapter 6. On to chapter 7. Luke continues to show us again and again in his gospel that Jesus is powerful, and there should be no misunderstanding of who he is. There should be no doubt. I won't ask you to rise today, but please stand up in your hearts while we read the Word of God. We'll read 1 through verse 17. After he had finished all his things in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. Now a centurion had a servant who was sick and at the point of death, who was highly valued by him. When the centurion heard about Jesus, he sent to him elders of the Jews, asking him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they pleaded with him earnestly, saying, "He is worthy to have you do this for him, for he loves our nation, and he is the one who built us our synagogue." And Jesus went with them. When he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends, saying to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you, but say the word, and let my servant be healed. For I, too, am a man set under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turning to the crowd that followed him, said, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." And when those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the servant well. Verse 11, soon afterward, he went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great crowd went with him. As he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came and touched the bier, and the bearers stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet is arisen among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country. Amen. The first section, the centurion's servant. When he had finished all these teachings which we had just reviewed, he went into Capernaum. And there's a certain centurion, a Roman commander, who had a servant who was very ill. The text says, how ill? At the point of death. If something doesn't happen quickly, this servant is going to die. And the servant was highly valued by the centurion, and he had heard that Jesus was healing people all throughout the area. We've read a considerable number of instances of Jesus healing people and the people marveling, saying, "Wow, nothing like this has ever happened before. He can even heal blind people, born blind." The centurion, which we will see, he has great faith. He says, "My servant is close to death. Y'all go petition Jesus for me. He'll do it. He can heal him. I know it. Y'all go petition him." He sent to Jesus elders of the Jews asking to come and heal the servant. Verse 4, when they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly. "He's worthy to have this done for you." Basically, the Jews are saying, "He's a Roman, but he's good. He's helped us. He's helped us. You should help him. He's a good guy to have around." Jesus went with them. And when he's not far off, listen, the faith of this centurion, is your faith like his? I pray it is. This is Luke's point. Why does Luke record this for us? Why does he tell us about it? Well, one, it happened. But two, it's important. This centurion says, no need to come all the way in. You don't even have to touch him. It's not about your power as a doctor and some sort of method that you're going to do that others were unable to. You have power. Listen, we talked about when the fishermen, Jesus' disciples, have been fishing all night. And they said, Jesus said, how'd it go? And they said, we caught nothing all night. And he said, well, why don't you try again? And reluctantly, it seems, they try again. And they catch such a catch that the boats are even sinking. And what we discovered there in the text is the disciples knew. Listen, they knew that God was with Jesus. But they didn't quite understand. He can command a school of fish to swarm under the boat at His will. Do you understand this power? This is different. He can tell winds and storms to shh, be quiet. And they listen. This is should be very obvious to all who are familiar with the life of Jesus, that He is God in the flesh, come to dwell with men. This centurion, he says, I know you have power. Just say the word. I know what it's like to have power. I have soldiers under me and servants, and I tell them, do this, do that, go here, come, and they do it. They have to. So it is with you, Jesus. Can you see the faith that this man has? Just say the word. He'll be healed even though you're not even in the presence of this sick person. And Jesus, listen, what does it take to marvel Jesus? Verse 9, when Jesus heard these things, He marveled at Him. And turning to the crowd that followed Him, said, I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith. Matthew records this as well. Chapter 8, you don't have to go there, but same thing. When Jesus heard this, He marveled and said to those, truly I tell you, no one in Israel have I found such faith. And the text says that they returned back and the servant was well. In Matthew, before they leave, Jesus says, let it be done as you have believed. And the servant was healed at the very moment. The power of Jesus. Does Jesus have the power to help you? This one that walks on water and heals people, though not present, who restores sight to the blind, who commands fish to go where He wants in a sea. Does He have power to do that which He's promised to do? I was talking with Lydia the other day about, she said, is there anything impossible for God? And I said, yes, there is. It's impossible for God to lie. It's impossible for God to break His promise. Why would He break His promise? We break our promise because either we forget we made the promise, or we don't have power to follow through with the promise, right? But not so with God. When He says, come unto Me, all who labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Is He telling the truth? Will He really give you rest? Do you believe He'll give you rest? Spurgeon has a great sermon on this. He says, it's not right to have a horse both pull a cart and have weight on the horse itself as well. What you should have is either weight on the horse and no cart, or a wagon only. Do you understand? Jesus said, come to Me, all who are heavy laden, burdened and heavy laden. It's like both of them are weighing down. Jesus promises, I'll give you rest. part of the reason why the scriptures are filled with so many of these marvelous things that Jesus has done, so that we can understand he has power to follow through with what he says. Men, listen, you follow a man, he may be skilled. He might be able to get you where you want to go. But it's no guarantee. With Jesus, the results are certain. Our pastor read it to us this morning. God so loved the world, he gave his only Son. Whoever believes in him will not perish. Why not? Because Jesus has power to save them to the uttermost. To the uttermost. The widow's son. Soon after, he went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great crowd went with him. So the disciples were just named, the 12 in our study of Luke, but other disciples as well, and a great crowd. Listen, they're following him because they want to see what's going to happen. They know something amazing is going to happen. They're following him. They don't know where he's going or what he's going to do next. So there's a great crowd with him. As he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother. She being a widow. So this widow, her husband had passed away. And what she had left in her family was her son. And a considerable Jesus had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Listen, Jesus sees this man being carried out. He knows the widow. He knows the anguish of her soul in that moment. He had compassion on her. This is not the teaching of a philosopher that says, "I can't do it. You have to do it yourself." This is not the way of Jesus. Jesus intervenes and does it for us. He has compassion on her and says, "Do not weep." He came and touched the bier. This word was not familiar to me. B-I-E-R. Maybe it is to you. In modern times, what it is it's the stand that a coffin is put on at a funeral. Oftentimes, it's draped with a cloth, so you don't see anything, and the casket is on top of it. But in ancient times, that may have been the board that the corpse is laid on top of. But either way, Jesus touches it. They're watching him. A great crowd is with him already, his disciples. And this widow is there. And the text says, and a considerable crowd from the town was with her. So we have two great crowds that are now combined into one with Jesus and his disciples. Jesus says, "Do not weep." He came and touched the bier, and the bearers stood still. Those who were carrying it. Jesus says, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up, and began to speak. And Jesus gave him to his mother. Can you picture this? Would fear seize you if you saw this happen? This is amazing. This man is dead. They have arranged the funeral. They are proceeding with it. His mother is weeping. Jesus has compassion. Don't weep. He has purpose that he's going to heal this one who is dead. Listen, if you ever doubt the power of God, he can heal someone who has already died. Isn't this? This is otherworldly. This does not exist in our life. No one can be healed if they're dead. But not so with Jesus. He has power even over death. He calls the man, "Arise!" The dead man sat up and began to speak. Can you imagine the great crowd there seeing this happen? This man who's been dead is now sitting up talking. Fear seized them all. Verse 16, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him spread throughout the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country. Listen, what we believe about the gospel is that humans are dead spiritually in their trespasses and their sins. They are dead. There's nothing that humans can do to resolve this problem. What we need is to be risen from the dead by the word of Jesus, by the command of God. Again, what Brother Edward read this morning. You cannot see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. There's different understandings of salvation, right? Even amongst Baptists. And the question that is asked is, which comes first? New birth or faith? And how you answer that question is very important, isn't it? Which comes first? Regeneration or faith? And some will say, well, faith. That's how you get born again. Believe. Okay, well, how can a dead person believe? How can someone who is depraved, who cannot please God in the flesh, all of a sudden say, I'm going to please God and believe? Even, listen, most Baptist churches, Southern Baptist churches, say that their confession of faith is the Baptist faith and message. It's a confession that's been edited many times over the years, generally not Calvinistic. However, in the section, and even in the Baptist faith and message, as it relates to regeneration, it says, quote, regeneration is a gift of the Holy Spirit whereby the sinner responds with faith and repentance. That is what we believe. It is a gift of God, and we respond, thank you, Lord, have mercy. Can God raise the dead? Can Jesus heal one? You know, we've been around long enough and heard of many terrible illnesses and very horrible ways that people have died. And don't we pity them and have compassion? But Jesus has power not just to heal that, even if they've already died. Even if they were dead sailors who were pushed over the ship and the fishes of the sea ate them and took them to all corners of the ocean, who were then eaten by other fish. That person, Jesus has the power to raise them from the dead in the resurrection. You believe that? People will say, how is it possible that you shouldn't be cremated? How can God bring you back? Come on. If a saint died in the year 300 AD, there's nothing left, friends. It's dirt. That's all that's left. God understands who we are, and if you want to call it DNA, He knows your DNA code, and He can bring you back anytime. And He will. By the power of Jesus, He will. Well, listen, you've probably heard these teachings of Jesus before. But the reason why we're walking through it again is to remind ourselves and refresh our memories about really how astounding the power of Jesus is. He can heal people without even going there. Go ahead, go home. He's better now. They go home, he's well. When did he get well? They tell him, that was right when he said. Even those who have died, Jesus is able to heal. Put this in your faith. As you pray, as you ask God to do things, don't pray doubting. Don't pray doubting. The Bible says that person is unstable and double-minded. Don't pray doubting. Pray believing. Jesus has the power to do it, and He delights in answering. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank You for these two accounts in the Scriptures. We thank You for preserving them until now, that we might read them and be blessed and instructed, that we might understand more the mind and will of our Savior, having compassion on those who are sad. Father, healing those who need help. We thank You, Father, that You've healed us. We surely are like our Savior, and we have sorrows and hurts, but we're thankful that You've promised that there is a coming time when all sickness and disease and troubles, tears, all of it will be wiped away, gone forever, our bodies resurrected to live forever in the kingdom of God. Oh Lord, help us to cling tightly. Help us to not grow weary in our faith, but to cling to the words of Jesus. He's gone to prepare a place for us. He will give us rest. He's giving us rest, even now. Thank You so much. Pray that You'd be with us the rest of our day. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.